Pastor Ryan's going to come up and just give you a few words.
Well, good morning, everyone. So this weekend, actually just yesterday, I had the privilege of being a part of hosting over 80 young people here with the sole purpose of training and equipping them to share their faith. And we prayed over them and released them into their schools now to go and be a force of reaching people for the gospel. And part of that weekend, we had invited Chris Wall and two of his colleagues, Miguel and Dominic, from Foresight Ministries in Winnipeg. And I had connected with these guys when I was in Winnipeg in December. And Chris is just going to come up in a minute after we show a video from their ministry. And he's just going to share a little bit about what God is doing there and maybe give you a bit of an encouragement. They have been part of a ministry there that has seen literally hundreds of teens and young adults come to Jesus in Winnipeg in the last few years. And so I know you're going to be encouraged by him. So check out the video, and then Chris is going to come and share with us for a few minutes.
I was in a very dark pit. I was in depression. I felt empty, lonely, and I just have that I don't care mentality. But then a year ago, I accepted Jesus. I completely accept him as my Lord and Savior. And since then, I just have that joy, the peace, the love that is coming from Christ. And it has been the greatest experience I've ever had in my life, and I want to live like this forever, to share Jesus, to have more people know.
16 years old, my father passed away. In all my life, I've never experienced such pain. Losing a loved one is already difficult as it is, but losing your very own father is very, very painful. God took away the pain in my heart and filled me with joy. God gave me the confidence in what I have and who I am, and I'm no longer afraid to approach people. And now I have a direction.
After I accepted Jesus, everything changed. How I see life, how I act, and how I think. I was filled with joy, love, peace, and especially hope that I know God will lead me to a bright future. That He has a plan for me. I found my purpose in life, and that is to share Jesus and live the life the way Jesus did.
Woo! Prince George! Are we doing all right, Prince George? Nice, I got a little bit of a response there. I wasn't expecting that. Thank you. Okay, so, you know, I actually prepared a whole bunch of stuff to say to you guys, but I want to talk about what God's doing here in Prince George. God isn't secluded to places other than where we live, right? God is doing stuff here. So, Pastor Ryan took a couple of us out to Red Robin. You know where that is, Red Robin? So many burgers. Holy smokes. So I asked Ryan, hey, we need to get some groceries. Where do we go for groceries? He's like, just go across the street, Save On Foods. I was like, right on. So we walk over to Save On Foods. There's this young guy, super young guy, asking for change. And I rarely have change, but a couple of us had change. So, okay, here we go, change. But what I always do, whenever somebody asks me for something, I ask them, this is my thing, do you have any pain in your body? And they're like, what? So this is what we asked them. We asked him, do you have any pain in your body? He's like, oh my goodness, do I ever. He's got pain in his spine. And we asked him, what level is it at? 1 to 10. 10 being horrible, 0 being nothing. And he's like, it's about a 7. And this is the first guy that I've ever heard pray along with us. He's like, Jesus, please help me. And this guy's not a Christian. He's like, oh, Lord, if you can heal me. And he's like telling us that if we should, he's like, just heal me if you can. I'm like, I can't heal you, but God can. So we prayed for him. Pain went down. Actually, at first he's like, oh, I believe I'll be healed. And then he started talking to us for 10 seconds. He's like, whoa, it feels a little bit better. I was, okay, you said it was a 7. What is it at now? He's like, it's about a 6. Okay, and then Dominic prayed for him. Boom, he's instantly healed. That opened the door for the gospel, right? When somebody sees a miracle, that door is wide open for the gospel. So we just talked to him. We had a little tool that we were showing him. He wasn't all that interested in our tool. He just wanted to talk about God. This guy was a green light. Somebody had already planted the seed. Somebody had already watered. We just came there and harvested. He was so ready for the gospel. And then yesterday, we took out a couple Prince George University students, and we went and did some mall evangelism. What's the mall you guys have here? Pine? Yeah, we went there. So there was this super tall guy with the tiniest, cutest little baby girl I've ever seen in my life. She's got a little pink jacket on, and she's walking. I'm amazed that somebody so small can walk. So she's walking. I'm like, let's go pray for her, because she had a tube in her nose, and it turns out she had some severe food allergies. So we prayed for her, and then they just felt really blessed. It turned out they were both Christians. They go to Timbers. You guys know what Timbers? Yeah, so they're members of Timbers. So that was great. So we had all kinds of cool testimonies, but the day ended, we went to go get lunch. So I'm standing at the Indian food restaurant, and the guy comes up to me. This 7-foot dude comes up to me. He's like, Chris, I'm just so, why? You said you're from Winnipeg. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? I just said, well, somebody had invited us out to do this. And he totally partnered with our vision. He says, I already sense revival. I already sense something happening in Prince George. He's partnering. And I'm like, amen, brother. And last night, I actually had a dream about you guys. Ooh. Ooh. So in this dream, I seen, it was just a white flower beginning to bloom. And what I really feel like that is, you know that freshness of life you had when you first accepted Jesus? You know that adrenaline you had? You're just like, the world had a new look, right? I really believe that that freshness is going to come back, okay? You're going to have this new freshness in your lives if you step out, because people, they're ready to hear about Jesus, but are we ready to get out of the boat? Are we ready to get out of our comfort zone, right? And just talk about God. It's not that hard. That guy is, that's the first dude I've ever hear pray with us on the street. He's like, Jesus, heal me. I've never heard that before, ever. So that's my encouragement for you guys. And one of the dudes, oh no, he wasn't in the video. He got the cut. Anyway, one guy that was in the video, because his mom got saved, so our lead pastor and the mom went to the house to talk to him about Jesus, okay? And this guy is addicted to video games. We thought he was mute. We didn't think he spoke. So we're trying to talk to him, and he's just like League of Legends. He's just not listening. But then our lead pastor had a word of knowledge, told him something about his past that he's never told anybody. And you know what that did? That opened a door for the gospel. He accepted Jesus. He's now a drummer in our worship band. He's a leader in our youth ministry, all because we've stepped out. We took a risk, willing to look like a fool for Jesus. Are you willing to look like a fool for Jesus? Amen. Okay, so I don't want to take too much time, but that's the encouragement I have for you guys. So God bless you. God is in you. The same Holy Spirit that's in me, the same Holy Spirit that's in the disciples, they were fishermen, tax collectors, regular dudes. That same power is in you if we're willing to open our mouths, willing to look like a fool sometimes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo!
Thanks, Chris. This morning, we are actually finishing our series about bringing Jesus into life. And this is what we're really talking about, and this is going to be the challenge this morning, is around the whole idea of opportunities to share the gospel. Because that's really what bringing Jesus into life is all about. That Jesus is a part of your everyday life, and everywhere you go, you're looking for opportunities to bring Jesus into the life of other people. And so this morning, I get the privilege to speak from Colossians chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, Paul starts talking about this very thing, about making the most of every opportunity towards people who don't know Christ. And so as we start this morning, I want to ask the question of simply this: what does it look like to make the most of an opportunity? So say you were given an opportunity, like at work, and your boss said, you know, I'm going to give you this project, and if you do a really good job of this project, you'll get a promotion. Or maybe you play sports, and normally you start on the bench, but one of the star athletes got hurt, and now the coach said, you're going to get to start next game. You're going to get to start the next game. Well, if you had an opportunity like that, you would probably what? You would invest, and so that when that opportunity came, you would be prepared, you would be ready to make the most of it. If it was the opportunity at work, you would probably pour every last little bit you had into that project, knowing that making the most of this opportunity depended on it. If you were that athlete that finally got your chance, you would probably practice extra hard that week, stay behind after practice and shoot a few more pucks, right? You would work hard at it because you would want to make the most of every opportunity that you were given in that case. You don't want that opportunity. You don't know when the next opportunity will come, so you want to make the most of the opportunity that you've been given. So then what does it look like to live with the kind of gospel intentionality so we make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel? What does it look like to live that way when it comes to living out our faith? How might that look? What kind of things can we do so that we are prepared to make the most of every opportunity, like Paul talks about here in Colossians chapter 4? So yesterday, as I said, we had 80 teens and young adults come and be trained. And the whole purpose of them coming was because they wanted to be trained and equipped on how to share their faith so they could do exactly this: make the most of every opportunity. And at the end, we prayed over them, over each school. Each high school in Prince George was represented. And 7 different churches were represented. And we prayed over them, and we released them now this week. This week is like their practicum, so to speak. They're being released into their schools to share the gospel. But they realize, I need to make the most of this opportunity God has given me in my school to reach people for the gospel. So what does that look like? Well, I think Paul gives us some clues of what it looks like to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel. But before we do that, I think a big part of it is that we need to know the gospel. Because Paul, as we're going to see, he talks about proclaiming it as he should. Well, in order to proclaim something like you should, you have to know it. It has to be deeply entrenched. Because here's the thing about the gospel. There is no greater message that needs to be shared. I mean, think about it. God created the world. He created this good, perfect, beautiful world and gave mankind a choice. And we chose not to follow God, not to trust Him. We chose to do our own thing. And we brought brokenness into the world. But God wasn't satisfied with just leaving us stuck in that brokenness. And so He sent Jesus, His Son, down to earth to live among us. He taught people. He did all kinds of miracles, including raising people from the dead. I mean, He did some crazy stuff. He taught people how to live with compassion and love and mercy. And then He went and He died on a cross, got nailed to it, even though He had done nothing wrong. But He rose again, defeating death. And now He offers this gift of us. If we just say, yeah, God, I want to take Your gift. I want to accept. I want to follow Jesus with my life. Please forgive me. Help me to change. Help me to be transformed into a new creation. And then God, and then at the end of all time, Jesus is going to restore all things, and we're going to be back to that good, perfect creation. I mean, what message is more encouraging and gives more hope than that. We have an exciting message. And so it begs the question, why sometimes do we sit on it? We have this amazing message, and yet so many times we don't do anything with it. And so this morning we're going to talk about how do we make the most of every opportunity. Let's go to the passage. It's in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. And it says this, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. I love that word, devote. It's like, invest in it, right? Invest in it. Pour yourself into it. So devote yourself to prayer. So it starts with prayer. Prayer is the work. That's where it begins. It says, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too. He says, pray for me. Pray for me and the people with me. Pray for our ministry. Pray, what does he want them to pray? He says, pray this, that God may open a door for our message. I mean, what a prayer, that God would open a door for the message of the gospel, that message we just talked about. And he says, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Then he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So here's the first step. If we want to make the most of every opportunity with people who don't know Jesus, the first step is this. Pray for opportunities. That's what Paul says. He says, pray for opportunities for yourself. Pray for opportunities for leaders in the church. Pray for opportunities for other members in the church. Pray that God would just provide opportunities to share the gospel. And the cool thing is, as a pastor, as we've been talking about this, we started in the fall really emphasizing this. And you know, it's really interesting because I've had so many different people come and share, sometimes even about bizarre opportunities God has presented them to share the gospel with people or to speak or invite people to church or to pray with people. Like people are like, yeah, so I was in line at the grocery store and I was trying to dig out my debit card and out fell a bunch of business cards from the church with the service times. And the cashier was like, hey, can I have one of those? Sure. Then the person behind them is like, I'd like one of those too. I mean, like, and why? They said, I was just praying God would give me opportunity to share with people. And like, a crazy opportunity, right? People have shared, a few weeks back, you heard Katie share about opportunities she had in her cooking or cafeteria class and how this whole conversation spread about what the meaning of life was and how God might have a part of that. And I met with a local businessman just a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about how he sees his work as his mission field, and how he had an opportunity to pray with one of his staff members who was struggling with cancer, and had an opportunity to share the gospel with him. If we pray for opportunities, God is faithful. And he gives them to us. And sometimes he gives them to us in bizarre, weird ways, in bizarre and weird places. I mean, I've had opportunity on trains, in airports, sitting on a plane, in the parking lot of the soccer complex here in Prince George. Like, you just don't know when opportunities to talk with people are going to present themselves. I mean, Save on Foods, you just heard, Save on Foods parking lot. But if we pray for opportunities to share the gospel, I believe God's going to give them to us. That God's going to give them to us. But then Paul says, pray that I'd be able to proclaim it clearly as I should. So then the next question, if you're going to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel, is do you know the message? Do you know what the message is? Can you, if someone were to ask you, like, how do I follow Jesus? How do I get into a relationship with God? Could you share that clearly so that they could understand it in a way that would make sense? And that's what this whole weekend was all about. And I want to say that training, it's not isolated to that day to 80 kids. We would love, like the GO team in this church and other people on staff, we would love to come do that same type of training in your life groups. We would love to come and do that training. If there's a group of adults that'd like to get together and say, we want to be equipped to do that, we would love to do that. It would be my joy and privilege to do that, and our joy and privilege to do that, so that we can have people who can speak the message of Jesus clearly. It's a simple message, but it's a profound message. It's a life-altering message. So Paul says that, I pray that I'd be able to proclaim it clearly, as I should. And the passage continues in verse 5 and 6, and he says, be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. There's that phrase, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The next thing Paul says is be wise in the way you treat people who don't know Jesus. Show hospitality to them. Treat them with kindness and love. Be just crazy generous. Like, do crazy, weird, generous things that just blow people's minds. Like, be wise in how you act and treat towards people who don't know Jesus, so that they get curious and say, like, why are you living that way, like, man? Like, people don't live that way. That's weird. What is going on here? Be wise in the way that you treat people. Show hospitality. Be a generous people. Be kind people. Be people that ask to pray for people. Be wise in how you treat people who don't know Jesus. And then the next thing he talks about is having conversations that are seasoned with grace. So my encouragement here is learn how to have effective conversations that are guided by the Holy Spirit. And having effective conversations, it really comes down to just a few simple things that anyone can do. The first thing is just simply this. Care about people. Be curious. Listen to people, ask open-ended questions, and then just listen well. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I can't have effective conversation. You don't understand. I'm introverted. I'm very shy. You know what? Sometimes introverted, shy people are the best at having conversations. You know why? They listen to people. Sometimes people who love to talk, I mean, we can just go on, and then we're letting the other person finally have their chance, and we're not really listening. We're just thinking, man, what profound thing could I say next? Oh, I'm sorry, what? Right? So sometimes, if you're quiet and you're like, oh, I don't know, this isn't for me. Yeah, it is, because you're probably an excellent listener. And all you got to do then is ask a simple open-ended question and then just ask a clarifying question and let them do the talking. Because the thing is, a lot of people love to talk about themselves when given the opportunity. So just ask good questions. Listen to people. Care about them. Let them tell you their story. And then just look. Just look for opportunities where maybe your story connects with their story, or the gospel story connects with their story. And then share appropriately your story with them. And share the gospel appropriately with them. This message of hope that we have. It's really not super complicated. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. Like, when we were teaching it to kids as young as, like, I think grade 6 or 7, and they were like, oh yeah, totally, we get this, we understand, okay. Like, it's simple. But we need to move past our fear of stepping out in faith and just doing it. And it's not easy. Like, sometimes when I share with someone, I still sometimes get like those nervous, like, butterflies in my stomach, like, oh, how's this gonna go? And so we do have to overcome our fear, but that's why the Holy Spirit is there, to help guide us, to speak into our lives even how we should direct the conversation and even what questions to ask. So we need to be listening. We need to be in tune with the Spirit as we have these kind of conversations with people. So I wanna just, as I start to wrap up, ask these just a few questions of you. And the first is this. What steps do you need to take in order to make the most of every opportunity God gives you to share the gospel. Do you need to work on your conversation skills? Do you need to work on really knowing the gospel? What is it? What is it that God is maybe saying, laying on your heart this morning? If you really want to make the most of every opportunity that I give you to share the gospel, what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is where an area you need to focus on? So think about that. Take that home with you. Wrestle with that question. What is it the Holy Spirit's asking me to do? But I think, regardless of where you're at in this journey of sharing your faith, whether you're someone who is just regularly doing it or you're someone that maybe has never done it before in your life, I think that there's a step that anyone can take this morning. And that's what I want to call us to take a step even this morning. And that's simply this. I want you to think about this morning. The worship team is going to come in just a few minutes here. And I want you to be thinking about this. What person do you need to start praying for? What person do you need to start praying for that God would open the door to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with them? And I want you to take an extra step of faith this morning. You're going to see there's tables on either side, and they have sticky notes with pens on them. And I want you to come, if God lays a person on your heart this morning, I want you to come and I want you to write their first name on the piece of paper, and I want you to stick it on the cross over here as a sign of your commitment to start praying that God will give you an opportunity with that person. And here's my commitment to you. If you come and you write a name on that piece of paper and you stick it to that cross, this week, myself and the staff team and also the Wednesday morning prayer team that meets on Wednesday mornings, we commit that this week we will pray for every name that goes on that cross. Because the staff meet every morning from 9 to 9:15 every morning to pray together. And we commit that we will pray for every name that goes on that cross. So we ask you to commit to praying for someone that God will give you an opportunity. And we as a staff team and as the prayer team will commit to praying for those names too. And we'll see what God does. We'll see what God does with these, what opportunities. I mean, I'm so looking forward to hearing the testimonies of, well, Ryan, guess what? You'll never believe what happened. I was here and all of a sudden I had this opportunity to share the gospel. Like, I am so excited to hear what God's going to do. And so the worship team's going to start playing, and you can feel free to join them in worshiping with them. But just listen to what the Holy Spirit says, and just listen if there's a name that He's laying on your heart to commit to praying that God would give you an opportunity with that person. And if there is, just respond. Just come, write it on that sticky note, stick it to the cross, and just make that commitment to pray for that person this week. Let's worship together and respond to the Holy Spirit accordingly.
You can stand.